The first 4 hours were simply in a moose boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
How good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. What's up, Tone?
What's going on, Kenny?
We talked to each other 15 minutes ago. Boy, they got a full 4 hours today, didn't they? I mean, we argued in that final segment. We went right after each other. There was no landing the plane today, buddy.
You know, it's what we live for. We live for being able to get as much content as humanly possible. I mean, think about it. We went from the Guardians. Is the season over? We then got over to the Browns. Deshaun Watson, can he be the face of the Cleveland Browns starting today? Then we got into the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell, you had one prominent media talker say, see ya, better trade him now. And we had a very balanced conversation about that, very responsible. And then we got into the stadium deal. I mean, how many shows are being able to tackle this, that, and the other?
So many different things going on in the fan right now.
And now, you know, they're calling Stefanski's camp,
Camp Cupcake,
family and friends and cupcakes. So, I don't know. These are things that we like to talk about.
We got done, and like, he started yelling at us that we were soft.
Yeah, he said
I go, well, was it interesting? He goes, it was soft.
Apparently, Nick and Dustin are going to be attacking us later in the show.
That later in the day.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great. I look forward to their attack, verbally, physically, whatever they want to bring. You wanted to bring up something very insider radio-y, and this is the place to do it because we're on the podcast brought to you by Extend Technologies. Please go right on ahead.
About the media?
Yes.
So, earlier in the week, Awful Announcing came out.
Nice girl dad shirt, by the way.
As they, one of four. As they usually do, Awful Announcing loves to attack Awful Announcing, what they perceive it to be. And in this case,
they attack themselves?
Well, they set their sights. They don't consider themselves. I think they think they're immune to it. They went on the attack against Colin Cowherd and Jason McIntyre, who were having a discussion about Shohei Ohtani and his trade value at the deadline. And I think Cowherd was like, well, I mean, they could get a ton of picks. They get a ton of picks for him. And then Jason McIntyre was like, yeah, I mean, that's one thing they could certainly do right now if they trade him. And then Awful Announcing was like, guys, that's how it works in the NBA, and that's how it works in the NFL. You can't trade picks in baseball. And so a bunch of people in the baseball realm went after them. How can you guys host shows and you don't know that? Now, we have never talking about picks. Like, we've never mentioned that in baseball. I don't know if it's because I knew that was the rule or I just didn't think of it because I'd never heard of it. I don't even know if I knew that was a rule
so
or not.
So I'm glad you brought this up. One time,
we just
I knew you couldn't. I always knew you couldn't trade picks. But there, one time somebody asked me, and it was a question regarding, I think it was trading, was it Carlos Santana at the time? And this was a while ago. And it was like, I remember it was like the season had just started. And we were getting either coming, I think we were coming out of the draft. I think it was like the week after the draft. And I was just sitting there in my chair, which I still have, by the way. And I'm lounging in the chair and I'm looking at Twitter and I'm just tweeting back at people, whatever. And I wrote, instead of prospects, I wrote picks. And somehow, some way, I mean, I got skewered by, at the time, Indians fans. And I, because I immediately, I wrote picks, and then I immediately followed it up with, I meant prospects.
Yeah.
And there were people, they just wanted to rip me for the picks thing and not saying prospects. And I'm like, guys, I know you can't trade picks. But it was too late for them.
Oh, too late. That story had been written.
It was very odd.
But either way, it got me to a bigger point. And then I'll get to that point in a second because Joe Buck, again, Barrett Sports Media, courtesy of them, they had him on a podcast, apparently, or they were, you know, transcribing the podcast. And it said that Joe Buck thinks, you know, baseball is kind of passed him by. What does he mean by that? He goes, it's my second year out of baseball. It is stunning to me how when you get out of something that's been in my life literally as long as I can remember, to have it be out of my life and watch as a fan, but not get into the weeds on baseball, to see the players come up in the All-Star game, I don't know who any of them are, and I haven't been out that long. And he's going into detail about that. And I'm like, I don't know that that could ever happen in the NFL or the NBA. I don't think that you could be out of those sports for 2 years and not know who the players are. I think it's impossible. I think that is a baseball problem that the other major sports do not have. And the reason I bring it up after just discussing that Colin Cowherd thing where you had the biggest radio show host in the last 20 years. I don't know, maybe put him up there with Jim Rome or Dan Patrick. But he's as big as anybody, and he doesn't know the rules. The obvious off-season rules in baseball, or the trade deadline rules, I should say. He doesn't know something that most, I would think, every hardcore baseball fan would know.
Yeah.
That's not happening in the NFL with the big stuff that matters. I'm sure there are people that don't know how many guys can line up on a line of scrimmage, on a player, what tackle eligible is. Mm-hmm. But that's different. Like, talking about trades at the deadline.
Yeah.
I mean, I think baseball does have an issue with its sport that the other two sports doesn't have.
Well, I think every sport has an issue with its sport that the other ones don't. I mean, the NFL.
No, I think this is different. I think this is way different. I think
really?
I think baseball has a number of issues, and I think they. By the way, they have fixed. I disagree. I gotta make the point. Baseball did a terrific thing in shortening the games and making sure fans got to see more teams. That has worked out beautifully. Look no further than what just happened this weekend against Philadelphia. You have a 500 baseball team going nowhere fast, and yet they had their biggest crowds in, what was it, 20 years or 15 years?
That's absolutely
incredible. But the problem baseball has is the average baseball fan does not know any other teams in baseball. They don't know about the prospect system. They don't know about arbitration. They don't know how long it takes players. They don't know when a player gets drafted. When are they ever going to see them? They just don't know those things. You don't have that issue in the NBA and in football where the average fan can name players on every team, almost every team. And they certainly know how the mechanics, the main mechanics of the sport.
First off, I don't think it's baseball's fault that a radio show host doesn't know that you can't trade picks. That's not baseball's fault.
I think it is.
No, it's not.
Oh, I think it is.
No, it's not. We're supposed to at least know that. I don't think we're supposed to know everything. I don't think we're supposed to be almanacs.
No.
I think that if I sat there and gave you stats and stats and stats, it'd get pretty boring very quickly. But I think that there's certain things that you basically should know.
No, it shows you. The reason that they don't know that is because nobody cares about the trade deadline in baseball.
It's
not something that comes up on the average national radio show.
But it sounds like you're defensive because you didn't know the pick that you couldn't trade prospect, or you couldn't trade picks.
I'm defensive in that these are baseball problems that they've had for years.
But I don't think that's a baseball problem.
They're never getting fixed. They're never getting
fixed. But that's not a baseball problem that a radio show host doesn't know basic simple rules.
It is a problem because baseball is not top of mind except for 2 weeks out of the year. It's like college basketball now. Nobody's talking baseball. I just asked last week, hey, would it be cool if you guys got to see Shohei Ohtani every time he came up to the plate, if coverage broke in on ESPN or whatever? No one cared.
That's not baseball's fault.
Yes,
we were talking. No, we were talking about something else. You brought it up out of nowhere.
It totally is baseball's fault.
It's not
that people don't care about the sport the same way they care about the NBA.
All right. Well,
and
now
the
we're
NFL.
Talking two. We're talking two separate things. Now you're deflecting. Yes, you are.
I'm not deflecting.
Yes, you are.
I'm telling you the problems that baseball has. That it is not perceived. It is such a local sport. I don't think it can ever be national again.
I'm not saying baseball doesn't have problems. They clearly have some problems. I think that they've gone a long way to start fixing those problems, but I don't think we're going to see a return on that for a while. I told you about Ohtani on this podcast last week before I took the final couple days off. As I said, that with Shohei Ohtani, I think my fear with him playing in L.A. right now for the Angels, not the Dodgers, but even still, is the Pac-12 After Dark scenario, where people just on the East Coast do not see him play. He plays his games at 10 o'clock. They don't get to see him play. In football, we don't have that problem. In basketball, stars are stars. I wish I could explain it. I can't.
It was like that in baseball.
But that is
in the early 2000s.
Okay, But
it's not like that anymore.
It's not like that anymore. But I got to give it more than one half of a year for people to start to change their habits or fully change their habits. I think that some of them have, and I still think that Shohei Ohtani playing in the Eastern Seaboard or on the Eastern Seaboard, at least in the Eastern time zone, would help. But because a radio show host, and I'm not going after radio show hosts for not knowing that. We all have brain farts. We all have things that we forget and embarrass ourselves on. It's perfectly fine. I'm not doing that. The host does not need to be a perfect host all the time. But it is not it's not baseball's fault that the host doesn't know that you can't trade picks.
But it is baseball's fault because
it's not.
Well, I'm explaining. You're just shouting over me. If baseball was top of mind and every year we talked about the trade deadline the way we do in the NFL now, by the way, the NFL trade deadline has become a very different thing in recent years, and it's even after they've expanded the playoffs. The NBA, which everybody makes the playoffs, but the trade deadline is a huge deal. Just ask Cavs fans. Every year it was, how are we going to help LeBron? What are we going to do with the trade deadline? And we would make huge mountains out of molehills on little dinky moves. That's how big the NBA trade deadline is in every town that thinks they have a shot to win. And now there's so many different teams that think they can win in the NBA that it's even helped the sport that much more. The reality is nobody's talking baseball trade deadline year after year after year anywhere outside of
a few
cities.
Yet.
And that is a problem. Well,
but I think they're doing what they can to rectify.
Do you think baseball's just starting this year?
Yes!
Well, they've had 20 years to get this, Kenny.
But they've changed this where they're playing every team now, and you have homes and aways, and you have games like that where now you get a chance to see people. It happens in more than one fell swoop, one off season. We have to reequate ourselves with the game.
What I'm trying to say, the problem that baseball clearly has, the other sports don't, is the stars will never be as big as they used to be because fans have changed their attention spans. They've changed what they believe a star is. They do not think a star is, hey, I'm going to the ballpark. I'm going to see a star swing a bat four or five times, and then that's it. I may see two balls hit to that star the entire game. In the NFL, the stars are the quarterbacks, the running backs. If you are into defensive players, you can watch Myles Garrett every play and determine if you think he's having a good game or bad game. In basketball, if you are a star, the entire game is focused around you and what you do on both ends of the floor, but especially offense. Baseball, we used to not care about this. We do. There's no such thing outside of Shohei Ohtani, who pitches and bats. There's no such thing as a guy that you're going to be staring at for 3 hours or 2 hours. It's just not happening. And baseball can't overcome that. I don't see it overcoming that. And baseball is going to continue to be a local sport, a regional sport. And now they don't even have distribution the way they used to. That could be a death knell for baseball. That's going to be really hard to overcome.
A death knell for baseball.
It's going to be really hard to overcome.
Stop. Owen?
I didn't hear a lot of fight there.
No, because you said I shouted over you, so I shut up. And I was quiet. I didn't agree with just about anything you said, but I think that I look at it in a totally different... You put me in a position to fight for baseball. I agree that they have some problems that they have to fix, but again,
they can't
I'm not
going to
blame baseball.
There's like, no fix for only seeing Jose Ramirez four or five times a game.
If you ask me who Kobe Bryant was drafted by, and I don't say Charlotte, I sit there and I say the Lakers, Lakers, and I don't know that the teams who make the trades in the draft still make the picks because that's an antiquated way that the NBA does things. I don't turn around and blame the NBA. I just take my licks and get better from it. That's what I do. It's not baseball's fault if a radio show host doesn't know that you can't trade picks. I made the mistake. I said it by accident. I know you can't trade picks. I know you can only trade prospects. I wrote it, and I got killed for it. Yeah. And honestly, it's not baseball's fault that I said it. I had football on the brain. I had a brain fart. That's the way it works.
I'm talking bigger. You're obsessing about just this little point. When you add it all up, the reason I'm doing it, Buck says he doesn't even know the guys that are in the All-Star game, and Joe Buck had done the biggest baseball games for the past 20 years. That is a problem.
The reason I'm doing it is because baseball has enough problems that we don't need to be nitpicky. And I'm not going to sit there and blame baseball because if I mess it up, I didn't do my job 100% correctly. And again, I'm a person who says, yes, you can make mistakes. Yes, you can get past them. I mean, for the love of God, I know the internet doesn't want to believe that anymore. So a guy who has put together obviously a great career, like if you're mentioning Colin Cowherd, a guy who's put together obviously a great career, I'm not going to sit there and think horrible things of him because he happened to have a brain fart himself and said that they didn't get or they can trade picks instead of prospects. I'm not going to do all that. That's part of the game. That's part of how it works. And every now and then, we all show our ass and we all look bad. I've tried my best to put together a very well-thought-out opinion every single time. And you know what? I still said that they were going to take Sam Darnold, and then they didn't take Sam Darnold. Mm. And Freezing Takes got a part of it, got a hold of it, and I had to take my beating that night. And it sucked. It really sucked the night of the draft. But at the same time, well, that's the internet. I don't think I should care about the internet. That was a long time ago. I don't think I care that much about the internet anymore. I don't think Colin Cowherd cares that much about the internet anymore. I'm sure he's just happy people are watching. But I'm not going to sit there and blame everything on baseball.
I think we're having two different discussions here, though. I think we're kind of talking past each other.
I'm just tired of having the conversation about what's wrong with baseball. I think baseball's done a lot of things right recently, and I'd like to highlight that.
I think they have, too, and we have done, I think, beyond a lot of shows, we have talked about it more than ever, and we were excited about the changes, and damn it, I loved this past series against Philadelphia. It was absolutely awesome.
Why was baseball your favorite sport when you were a kid?
I knew every player. Baseball cards.
You better check your phone.
I did. I saw it.
Okay.
But I knew every big time player.
Not
obviously.
No,
like
you're trying
up,
to prove to me that it was your favorite sport. I already know it is. Why was it your favorite?
I think it was the first sport I was introduced to.
Exactly.
I think being able to see the 1989 World Series and what happened with the
earthquake.
The earthquake and it was like, man, the Oakland Athletics are a big deal.
Yes.
And Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco and Dennis Eckersley and the list goes on.
And now who are the kids that love – did you play travel baseball?
Yeah, I actually did. Yeah, I was terrible, but I somehow managed.
Okay.
It's good first baseman.
Did you
– swung and missed every time, though, to play.
Was it your only priority in life?
For a while, baseball was it.
At that age, defense matters, so I agree with you. Well, I'm serious.
I could scoop them up.
Who are the kids that love baseball right now? It's not your rec league boys.
My neighbor, two houses over.
It's not your rec league boys. It's your travel boys. Toby, I'll use my own house for example. I've got six kids in there. Toby plays travel ball. None of the rest of them do. None of them have. Some of the girls play on the high school softball team. That's different. But Toby's the only one. We're going tonight. I'm taking him tonight. Just him. Because the other ones don't care about the game. They don't. They have other priorities for them for sports. He loves it because it has been a thing. At the same time, he knows all the Guardians. Well, not all the Guardians. He knows all the main Guardians right now that play on the field. He doesn't know anybody from the other teams.
How old is he again?
He's nine.
He's nine, yeah.
And I knew all those other guys at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I had all the trading cards. That was a big deal. And my boys still do trading cards, not baseball, though. They do football trading cards, not baseball.
Did they get the Santa Claus card?
We did all the trading cards. You played a game Saturday morning, and then you went home, and it was on a local affiliate. A national game was on a local affiliate, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Every Braves game was on. Every Cubs game was on. You saw all those. It was in your life so much more.
I got Yankee and then games. Sports Center. I got Yankees games on the antenna.
And then Sports Center showed you every team's highlight.
Exactly.
And now
we said the same thing.
But
sorry
they
for
also
shouting.
Had catchy.
I know these mics are that sensitive.
Sport, you know, Stuart Scott and Dan Patrick and all those guys who were, Stewart was actually part of the second wave of those guys, but they brought in a catchy way for you to know all of these teams and it a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's just not a big deal anymore because, so I'll take it this, my boy that loves baseball and knows a ton about the Guardians, he doesn't go play a 10 a.m. game on Saturday and then home by noon and doing all that. If we're playing on the weekend, we're generally playing all day.
So,
or if we're not, we have played all week, and that's our break away from it.
I think those are all great points. I think that the baseball players who like the game, and they might not necessarily like the players as much anymore. I think that what Cubs games are on Marquee now. It's called the network's called Marquee. Mm-hmm. It's not WGN. It's not middle of the day. It might be owned by W for a while. Yeah. I know, but I don't know the ins and outs and what have you. But I don't know if there's Cubs games on in the middle of the day anymore because obviously they play a lot more night games than they used to. Which ESPN, by the way, credit where it's due, had a 30 for 30 podcast about that entire fight of putting lights in at Wrigley Field. It's very good.
Right.
Because of the Cubs and a little bit of the Braves, but mostly I was watching Indians games at the time if the Braves were on, because they were playing at night. But because of the Cubs and because of Sammy Sosa, remember we had Albert Bell, so Albert Bell was chasing history. Right. Then we had Manny, we had Jim Thome, and everybody.
We had the most awesome team ever to root for.
But you also had...
That's how awesome it was. I watched a ton of Indians when I could, and yes, I was nowhere near
and you
here.
You also know? Had direct comparison because I'd watch, we've told the story too many times. You'd watch the Cubs in the afternoon. We would, I know right. You didn't, but you're
I'm a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, so it's different. But Lyman and I would watch the Cubs in the afternoon. And there, the whole conversation was about Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire's playing for St. Louis at the time. So you got to know.
Yeah, I didn't go out with my friends at that time because I wanted to be home to see them break in on the home run coverage.
That's true. But now that it's broken, I mean, there's no what regular season records matter anymore. But I think part of it is systemic as well, where because I was so focused on McGwire versus Sosa and Bell and Griffey and everybody, by osmosis, you got to know who the other players right. were. And what you said about the highlights is 100% true. We said that about hockey. When we talked hockey, this was like in the winter, something about hockey got brought up, and this might have been last year too, that they showed highlights of hockey games, and it was SportsCenter was recorded, and so you would watch the same rerun. Because if you're home at night, you know, you just be assing off at home, whatever. And I was a little kid. So I'd have SportsCenter on all morning. I did not watch. I mean, I watched some Nickelodeon, but I ended up having on SportsCenter in the background. Well, Stuart Scott was a person you had to see. Dan Patrick was a person you had to see. Linda Cohn, Kenny Mayne. They were people you had to see. You trusted them. They were my generation's
right.
Brokaw, rather, those guys. And because of that, they were stars, and they presented us stars, and they made other guys stars, and then there were highlights. Now, ESPN does SportsCenter, quote-unquote, but it's live programming. And they're not going to go through the same highlights every day. It's not even highlights. It's story. So let's have this story, then have this expert in, and we'll have a round table here for 6 minutes, go to a commercial break. Coming up next, the Browns are in camp. That's not highlights. That's the Browns are in camp. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson and Nick Chubb and Saquon Barkley and all that right. stuff. They're not doing highlights. I'm sure they do a few, not nearly as much. Yeah. And the highlights are showing. They're not making it a point to show Pirates Reds.
No.
They are showing, here's what Shohei Ohtani did, and he might get traded, and now let's talk about it.
Because
that's the baseball they're talking about. And Aaron Judge, who was chasing American League history at the time, and he's a New York Yankee, let's not be stupid. So I don't think that it's – and by the way, I don't think that ESPN would do that if they didn't know that's not what people wanted. Does that make any sense to you? There's a thirst for it. They can make money for it.
I've thought about this a lot. So everything I just said at the start of the discussion, this is where we might come back together and have an interesting debate about it. It is chicken or egg, right? It's chicken or the egg on this. If Colin Cowherd starts talking baseball on the national shows
mm-hmm.
and everybody else who's doing national radio, whatever the lineup is at ESPN Radio these days, if they all start talking about baseball again, is there a chance that maybe some stragglers come over, maybe they get into it, then they get their friends into it, and can baseball ever become that again?
That's part of the reason I have a lot of hope, and I'm a big fan of Shohei Ohtani. Part of it is, guys, I know you're not going to believe us. There are times we get bored to tears talking about football. And I guarantee you don't believe that. And I will bring in a Bible if you need me to, and I will swear on it. There are times where we get bored to tears talking about football. But clearly there is a thirst to want to hear about it. Or honestly, because we pay so close attention to it, we revert back to football because it's an easy crutch. But like a guy like Shohei Ohtani, I'm hoping he can open up those doors again to creating stars in baseball. Also, we have to be willing to meet them halfway. Lionel Messi is an international superstar. We're not interested in MLS soccer, only as an aside if there's a story to it. But you and I, did not talk about Lionel Messi yesterday, and we didn't talk about him this morning. But he's a major star. He's an international star, one of the most famous people in the world, and we didn't talk about it. So we have to also come across that way. And it also comes into what people are interested in, or what are theories of what people are interested in as well.
See, it's amazing. The Messi thing is interesting because you've seen the Apple subs that have gotten over a million, and they said this is just the beginning. There's going to be this onslaught now. And I told you, Ken, you know, I heard John Skipper on a podcast, former president at ESPN, talk about he's a diehard soccer fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, he watches leagues all over the world.
Yeah.
Somebody asked him, hey, where is the MLS? The level of play for the MLS. He said it might be 9th or 10th. And I'm like, that sport's never getting
huge.
Out of soccer. He goes, that sport's never getting huge.
But can a guy like Lionel Messi, can he, Lionel, I'm sorry.
Lionel.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, no disrespect. Can a guy like Lionel Messi help change that? Can he bring the stat, will other players come to, because of the money, can he help make more money to make it a viable product to international players?
I thought the same thing, and then they gave this guy $1 billion the other day to go play somewhere
Mbappe?
Else.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Because
I like the bowls that they serve at his restaurants. They just built another one on the west side.
We have kids who wear soccer kits. They wear soccer jerseys.
So...
But they're wearing Premier League jerseys. They're not wearing MLS. Miami.
So even going into that. So
maybe they are now.
I'll use Toby again because he is sports hungry.
Yeah.
He loves it out of all my kids. My other kids love to play sports, but that dude since 2 years old would sit down with me and watch a game. And we still just sit and watch games together and talk about what's happening. And he watches the catcher and, you know, how he moves that. But he brought up Messi the other day. He goes, and he's like, Messi's the GOAT, you know, that's how kids talk, right? So he's like telling me all this and about his Riz and things like that, right? And I go,
and Riz about picking up.
Yes.
Okay.
And I go, do you even know who he plays for? He goes, Argentina. I'm like, okay. And I'm pretty sure I got that right. But he knew the correct country, but he didn't know about the Miami thing. He just knows what the influencers on YouTube and TikTok and those things that he spends too much time on tell him to know about that stuff, you know? So you're right. I bet there are a ton of kids that have Messi jerseys from his time in the Premier League, I'm assuming, is where he was before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're sitting there watching it every day and knowing exactly what he's doing. And I don't think that you can get the in their prime European soccer players or players that play in Europe right now.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he was in La Liga.
Yeah, that's the one.
I wonder about this all the time. Like, I've been honest about it my entire adult life. I've been open to soccer. I've been open to it. It just never happened. It just never happened. I've been open to it. I have not been a curmudgeon. I've gotten into the World Cup.
I've enjoyed it more as my oldest daughter, who just spent a week in Minneapolis playing in a big tournament, just came home Sunday night. But I enjoy watching them play. It's at a level that keeps my attention and isn't too long, even though they're playing the same length as the pros. And I enjoy the Women's World Cup. I do enjoy that. I think there's a difference in the style of play between the women and the men. And the men I don't really care for. Also, part of my man brain goes, these guys are so good. Why aren't they playing football? Why aren't they, you know?
Yeah.
I think part of the issue.
Why aren't they playing basketball? You know, things like that.
You can admit that.
Part of the issue is that we know the Americans, we've been hearing about it for 20 years, that they're going to get better at this sport. And they've never.
Not only have they not gotten better, they were worse at one point. They didn't even make the World Cup.
I know. And then people just blame the coach or whatever. And it's like, this has got to be more to that. Like, how in the world, even if all our kids don't play soccer growing up, more of them do than ever before. I mean, go look at a soccer field on Saturday morning anywhere in any.
They're playing it.
And they're all playing it. So how is it that they don't matriculate through? I've given it a chance. I am entertained sometimes. I mean, when I was in Chicago, went and saw Liverpool at the Liverpool bar. It was a fun drinking event. Everybody had their songs and their colors, and people were going nuts. And I left it going, that was a cool experience. And then I didn't even bother to try to see when they were playing next.
And then you didn't go, I need more Liverpool. No. You said, I'll go back to my life.
I'll tell you this, now that you're going to have more than one child. So Axel is going to play football again this year. He's going to actually play tackle, and we'll see how this goes. He's got football camp tonight and tomorrow. He's 8. He wants to. I asked him a million times. He wants to play football. He's got football camp tonight and tomorrow, and then we have our first practice Thursday, and I'm one of the coaches. I will tell you, I am hoping for the day one of my other sons has a sport that I'm not. I know we all claim we have knowledge of the big three. Whether or not we do, that's another thing.
Well,
but
the coaching level is different.
But I'm hoping that there's going to be one that I know I can just enjoy at some point. Like football, I believe I do know football, not to the level of Kevin Stefanski, obviously, or even very good high school football coaches. I do think that there are a lot of assist. I will say this. I think there are a lot of assistants, even in the area, that I think they're carried by very good head coaches and very good assistant coaches, and they have their heads completely up their ass. And they're the type of people that call guys like you out, guys like me out for it. But I think I know they have their head up their ass. But making a short story long is I feel a great deal of pressure for Axel to play, not to do well. There's a great deal of pressure just that he will be coached well, participate, enjoy the whole thing for the big three sports. I am wondering when the day is going to be where Eli's a different set of circumstances, I understand, but there's still like cross country there where I think he could possibly do. Jonah so far has shown very little, if any, interest in sports. He's four. And his brothers, like Eli likes racing and cars and things like that. And Axel's crazy about sports. But it's like, if one of them played soccer, if one of them played lacrosse, if one of them played something that I know I could go, I am of no help here other than to hold the stick. I can hold a stick, but I will not be participating in anything more than that. Wyatt, that's it.
Wyatt played lacrosse for the first time this year. Only one of my children to do that. It was so freeing.
Yeah.
To just show up at game time. You know, I would drop him off if it was an in-town game, drop him off the 45 minutes early or whatever, and go back home and finish my dinner and then show up at the game and go, huh, one of you dads that have done this for 2 or 3 years, explain to me the rules. And I actually picked up on it quicker than I thought I would, but that was having a working knowledge of soccer.
Yeah.
Helped me with that. And I do so much stuff with the Monsters. I've watched a ton of hockey.
Oh, that's true.
So that's helped me there too. But it was so nice to just show up, watch the game, and then leave. And it's not because I didn't have a want to help with that team. I had no business being around that team and trying to influence any kid because I had no clue what was going on.
The best is if you would have tried. That would have been amazing.
Well, that's kind of what I've done with wrestling. I didn't have any wrestling knowledge. But at the time, that's a different sport, and it requires a lot of away from your club stuff, where if you really want to do it at a higher level, and my boys all showed interest, I would have to take them on my own. And the first time I took them on my own, and I'm like, I was scared about being in those gyms because I didn't know what I was doing and I felt like I was letting them down. So I inserted myself into their practices just to listen to see what was going on, because I can't get another dad whose kid isn't even there to go, hey, can you give up a Saturday to come sit with my boys in this sweaty gym? Your wife will understand.
Because
they totally won't. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You're married to a woman now.
Mm-hmm.
They give you no... It give you no rebound on that.
It's tough.
But it does make it nice if you can trust. I coach Toby's baseball team, but I have said for 2 years now, I can't wait till the day that my knowledge, that his level of ability has surpassed my knowledge of the game, and we can get somebody in here that knows what they're doing to take them to. Because right now it's just me corralling kids.
Well, think about it.
And telling them to step with your foot straight towards the towards the plate and throw with, you know, here's how you throw a ball.
Like I see some of the, like I fall, like we're getting ready for football season, so I'm switching. Obviously, I've switched to football mode.
Right.
I watched the
off pad handout last night.
I see all the, on Instagram, I follow a lot of offensive and defensive line coaches, and I go, you know, none of this is helpful.
Right.
Because if they ever get to this level, this is high school level, I will not be the coach.
Right.
It is not my job to teach him any of this. Like, my whole goal is for them to just like it.
Your real job is to teach them not to quit on themselves.
Yes.
Not to quit on their teammates, and try to find something that they enjoy out of the game. And then if they aren't finding it, you have to change to each child's individual preferences to really get them to stay in the game.
Yes.
If you're really trying to build. Because ultimately, I'm very selfish, and I've told all the other parents of the kids that I coach, I really think your kids are good at it, but I'm selfish. I only want my kid to be good. But in team, in team sports...
You'll care about that later, though. It'll change.
But in team sports, the only way that my kid can be good is for your kid to also be good.
Yeah.
So I have to invest my time in that as well. But at the end of the day, I wish nothing but the best for your kid, but I'm only here to see my kid succeed.
Yeah.
And that's my selfishness out of it. But I think everybody is that to a point.
I bet that changes as they get older and you're hanging out.
Well, it was a little different coaching 14, 15-year-olds this year in baseball. We won the league championship. Pretty good team.
Well, would you play Jason Lloyd's team?
Actually, we were the next level up. My son played on that team, damn it. but to see those boys and know, like, dude, these guys could have kids in less than a decade that are playing sports. And then I was like, you know, if you ever need a bench coach, I'll be 52. Call me up.
Yeah, but that's all we talk about is how the next generation is going to get married, have kids, even having sex. I don't understand how that's a big thing online now. I don't understand, but either way, because that's all I hear is about how kids know more than we ever knew, but that's a totally different conversation. Did you see the story about Bronny James?
I did. And it took... less than 2 minutes for people to start speculating about why he had a cardiac arrest.
It took less than 2 minutes for us to start getting tweets about it. Not texts, but tweets about it from people. Yeah. There you go. I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm glad he's okay.
Can't even imagine somebody like that happening at that age and what his family must have been thinking, what he must have been thinking. Also, good thing this wasn't at the type of practices we had in high school. There was nobody around. There was nobody that could help in a situation like that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, imagine if that happened in, like, your middle school gym or your high, you know, you just look for
especially this time of the year when nobody else is even in the building.
Yeah, but what
this
happened.
Maybe one adult.
This happened at USC.
Yes. Yeah.
And they had urgent, immediate care that was there almost instantaneously. Like, that could have gone a very, very different way.
Oh, I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be a huge story.
This is going to be huge. Obviously, the internet's going to do what they do. I mean, this has ramifications for, obviously, for him. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he's okay. This has ramifications for LeBron's career, the whole thing. I mean, this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. This is a very big deal. So, I am glad he's okay, though, for the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about girl dad shirts at some point here.
Sure. If people keep buying them, I'm going to keep wearing them.
How do people, see, when people buy you four of the same shirt.
Yeah. It's the only one, I guess, in town. Like, one local company had it.
It turns out to be, to me, that's the same thing as a gas station World's Greatest Dad t-shirt on your way to your dad's for Father's Day.
I guess if she buys it for me, I got to wear it, right?
Your wife?
Anybody. Anybody buys it for me.
I got to wear anything that people buy for me if I don't like it.
Nah, you feel bad.
Who feels bad?
I would. Suppose someone spent money on it.
How much could it have cost?
$58.